All right, so we're going to pause for just a minute to celebrate Jesus even more. We have a tradition that we kind of started this year with the Advent reading and the Advent candle lighting. And that Advent is the word that means, you know, celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ, even at birth, also with the second coming. And there's 4 weeks long. We've been through two. This is our third week. And we have a scripture reading, which Stephen and Heather are going to come on up, and they're going to do it this week. And there's three candles, and like David said, it helps us focus on the reason for the season. You know, and the first candle was the Advent candle of hope. And last week it was the Advent candle of faith. Okay, and then this week it's the Advent candle of joy. So let's all pause and let's do that.
When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2:10-11.
Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in the book of John, if you have your Bibles. I believe Derry might have it up on the screen. And he's got a cool backdrop. That's awesome. Book of John, chapter 5. One through nine. So let's pray, and then we'll get into God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time of the season, where it means so much to us as Christians, as followers of Christ. It's everything, Lord. I always say that if it wasn't for Christmas, there would be no Easter. If there wasn't no Easter, then we just really didn't have any hope at all. But Lord, we know that we do have hope. We do have faith. We do have joy and we have love because of your great gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, being born during this season. Lord, we stop for a minute, pray for our foreign missionaries around the world, spreading the good news and all the crazy, dangerous places that they go. Lord, we ask you to protect them, keep them safe, open up windows, open up doors they can move through and spread the good news. We pray for our military. Lord, they're around the world too, keeping us safe and doing what they do. We lift them up in Jesus' name. We pray for all of our church family, all of our neighbors around our church in Brooks County, Lowndes County, and around. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Let's read together. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Let me stop right there for a minute. You guys ever hear me sometimes say, this Greek word means this, this Hebrew word means this. Why do I do that? Because right here, the Word of God does that, right? So it says, which is called in Hebrew. And if you study that word Bethesda, it's kind of interesting meaning to it. And if you'll study the five porches, that has a very interesting meaning too. But let's keep going. Verse 3. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Everybody said amen? Like Darius said in Sunday school class this morning, he did not need physical therapy. I thought that was kind of funny in a way, you know. Remember who was in Sunday school class? It was on my Book of Acts, you know. I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, Christmas can be the most wonderful time of the year, filled with happiness and joy, kind of like we talked about last week a little bit. But, everybody say but. But it is extremely difficult for many people. Perhaps the Christmas season highlights for you the loss of a loved one. Maybe there's going to be an empty seat around the table this year that reminds you of someone that you may have lost. The season, with all of its celebrations and parties and dinners, can ironically intensify loneliness. It can remind you of what's not present in your life, things that you really wish was there. Amen? The season of connection can also reawaken conflict in families. It can stir up old wounds. So we have to be careful and be mindful of how we think and how we act. Right? But you see, the good news is God sent Jesus into the darkness of this kind of world as the Wonderful Counselor. And stay with me here. That is one of the names that God gives to His Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which was really written about 800 years ago before Jesus. And this name describes one of the purposes of His coming and being born during this time of the year. The people that God gave this promise to were in financial and political trouble. They were in this darkness from these enemies. Hey, bud. That's okay. I love kiddos. Let them come up. These people prayed for deliverance from an army that had them surrounded and was threatening to destroy them. And in response to their prayers, God promised them a Messiah. He promised them a Wonderful Counselor. But here's the problem. That Messiah wouldn't show up for many, 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 many years. A few hundred years to be exact. So how did that help them? What did that do for them? That's a good question. I believe that God was showing them that He not only wanted to deliver them from that army, but what God really wanted to do was cure the source of their problem and not just fix their temporary problems. He wanted to cure them at the source, and that source was their separation from Him. That was their real problem, that they were separated from God. Now, to be clear, in Isaiah's time, God did provide some financial and military help for them, because He really is concerned about our here and now. And what we're going through right now, God really is concerned about that. But the main point is God wanted to cure them at the core, at the root of their problem. And that was, they needed to be reconciled to Him. So God was looking at Jesus way out in the future. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. And that's God's plan for us. That's what God has for us. He offers to us something greater than just a solution to our everyday problems. So let's look a little bit closer to this word, Wonderful Counselor. In the Hebrew, wonderful means pele. Pele. Everybody say pele. Okay? It means pele. And Pele, it's wonderful in Hebrew, and that's a word that the Hebrew people used when they just could not find the word, the right word that to describe the wonderfulness of something. They used Pele. And even Isaiah said that when the Messiah comes, he would be beyond the words to describe him. He was Pele. It's wonderful beyond what words could even describe. And then that word counselor, wonderful counselor, that word counselor means Yahweh's. Yahweh's. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Yahweh's as a counselor. And what it means is that one who instructs or guides from a position of authority. Now this is a lot more than the kind of counselor or friend that you would call in the middle of the night and tell them about your problems. And they would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, that sounds bad. Hang in there, buddy, hang in there. You're going to be okay, trust God. We're going to be praying for you." Oh, that's great. But that's not what this is talking about. It's not even talking about a counselor like me, you know. This goes deeper. This is talking about someone, everybody listen, someone to whom you bring your worst problems. And he can show you the way out of them because he has authority over them. This is powerful. You see, he's a counselor that rescues and delivers you. The thing that I like most about this wonderful counselor is that it tells us that Jesus came for people with problems. Jesus didn't come to reward the righteous or crown the victorious. He came to help and to heal the weak and the wounded and the sick and the suffering. Here's what you'll notice when you study the life of Jesus. This is what you'll know. Every miracle that Jesus did started with a problem. Every single one of them. Jesus' miracles were not magic tricks where he tried to impress people by pulling a rabbit out of a hat or, you know, levitating himself 6 feet off the ground. No, Jesus healed blindness. He cured sickness. He calmed threatening storms. He multiplied food for the hungry. And he raised people from the dead. Amen. Every one of his miracles started with a problem. So, the good news in that is, if you have a problem, then you're a candidate for a miracle. Isn't that good news? You're right where you need to be. Seriously. If you have no problems, then you probably won't see a miracle. If you're sitting here this morning and life is just great and you have no problems, the bad news is no miracle for you. Sorry, I didn't know if I was going to get a laugh or not. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? No soup for you. No miracle for you. Seriously. That could be bad news. I don't know. But for those of you with problems, which I suspect is all of us sitting in here today, you're ready for a miracle. Jesus is your wonderful counselor. He promises wisdom to the confused, support for the weak, strength for the weary. He promises to never leave us and never forsake us. He promises to work all things out for our good. So, what's the right way to respond to this wonderful counselor? Now I'm going to meddle a little bit. Is that okay? I usually don't. I don't know. Maybe I do. So, how do we respond to this wonderful counselor? You need to ask yourself a few questions. So here's some questions. Are you willing to be completely honest with them? If you just don't know, I'm a professional counselor by trade and a wannabe preacher. And one day, hallelujah, but I've been a counselor for, I don't know, almost 30 years, 27 years. And one of the things that we look for with our clients or patients that come in is complete honesty, transparency. Without it, I can't do much for you if you're not going to be honest. So with the wonderful counselor, with Jesus, we need to be completely honest about your real problems and what's really going on with you. Are you ready to talk to him? Are you ready to talk to Jesus about the problems you don't want anybody else to know about? Maybe your secret fears and faults and failures. You know, the most painful parts of our lives we tend to hide. You see, until you're fully open and honest about your problem, the wonderful counselor really can't help. He's not going to force himself on you. But, here we go. If you expose your problem to him, if you let it all out there with Jesus in prayer, Jesus can heal you. He can heal you. He can heal you in your soul. And your soul is made of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Say it again for visitors. Your soul. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this body. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your soul. Jesus can heal you. If you keep your problem covered up, then you just won't. The wonderful counselor promised. He promised that his power is so great that there is no problem that he can't deal with. And here's the beautiful part. That's all beautiful too, but this is the part that really gets me right here. And his love for you is so great that he will never, ever turn you away. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what's happened to you in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you so much, he would never turn you away. Amen? Person after person after person who met Jesus in the Gospels discovered that the safest place in the universe is to be completely exposed in the presence of Jesus. Think about the woman at the well caught in adultery. Think about Peter as he stood there denying Christ. Ugh. Are you willing to be completely honest with him? To humble yourself and completely expose the brokenness of the depths of your heart to him? Maybe you need to. It's only a question that you can answer and listen to the Holy Spirit. The next question is you must ask yourself is, do you actually want to be healed? Do you actually want to be changed? Jesus just asked the man at the pool if he wanted to be healed. It's kind of a strange question, right? It's kind of something like, really? Well, sometimes we like the idea of change. We like the idea of being healed or set free. But in practice, we find it difficult and uncomfortable. So are you ready? Are you ready to be healed? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding? Are you? Are you ready for God to help you with your problems? Are you ready to become what God wants you to be? You see, listen closely. A willingness to obey God is a prerequisite to experiencing the power of his healing. God honors obedience. So the last question is this. Are you willing to do what he asks you to do? Do you trust Jesus enough to go and do whatever he is calling you to do? Can you obey him? Can you let Jesus call the shots? Can you really trust him with your problems and surrender to his word and to surrender with his love and his plan? We will never experience the power of the wonderful counselor nor experience his miracles until we give up our prerogative to do things our way. Does everybody hear me? Amen. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is our helper and our rescuer from all that threatens us. And the only way. The only way he could do that was to enter into our pain. Enter into this world. Be born into this world to ultimately deliver us from the ultimate curse of the penalty of sin. That's what we celebrate this Christmas season. Jesus was born on the earth so he could live the life we were supposed to live. He lived a perfect life. We can't because of sin. He lived a life full of obedience to his Father without sin. And then he died the death that we were condemned to die in our place, suffering the penalty in our place. Amen. That was so that he could cure our problem at the root, to restore our relationship to God. That reconciliation. And just not to give us the superficial fix of better money or a better job or a better health. Don't misunderstand me. God wants to help us in all those things too. But more than anything, he wants the reconciliation to himself, that relationship, that being born again, adopted into the family of God, placing your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ covers your sins. And once you've made that decision, from there, he will guide you through life's challenges. He'll give you counsel and direction all along the way of life. And that's why his name is Wonderful Counselor. Amen. Do you know him today? If not, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son to be born on that Christmas day. Grow up, live that life, take our place on the cross so that we can spend eternity with you. We can know that peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I pray this morning that if there's one person or a few people here who have never made that commitment to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, during this song of invitation, they would come down and I'd love to pray with them. We can settle it today. Not joining our church or not playing religion or any of that. They just want to know for themselves that they're saved and they're going to heaven. We give it all over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.